Are you finding life a little bit difficult? Well, our three readings on the lectionary sheet, if you please do take them away with you, covers different circumstances that you may feel speaks to you. Do you have a giant to fight? Like David, you called to dispatch Goliath, but you may not feel as confident with a sling. Do you feel that the boat you're travelling in is sinking beneath you? Like the disciples, do you feel overwhelmed with waves crashing down on your life? Or Paul, as he writes in his letter to the Corinthians, is struggling with pressures all around. He is criticized, condemned, and persecuted for his witness to his faith. So what do you do? I wonder whether, and I think there are one or two of you here, who do know the Sea of Galilee. Who's been and has seen the storms arise? I haven't, but I'm told that they do arise very, very quickly and very, very dramatically. And this is the circumstance that we read about in the Gospel today. It's important to remember that the Jewish people were a land-based people. They did not enjoy travelling on the sea. They were just not sailors. Because, of course, historically to them, the sea was a symbol of all that is evil and a power of, and a great threat against them. And in this little account, we have something quite important revealed, is that Jesus is seen as defeating the forces of chaos. And in the Old Testament Psalms, we often read of how God is ruling over the roaring of the seas. So in this story, the disciples had gone with Jesus. They had sailed away from a safe harbour. They were stepping out on their own from the known shores where they felt safe. And we probably can think of a number of circumstances in our own lives and in the lives of those who we know and care for. Perhaps young people leaving home for the first time. Perhaps couples getting married and setting up home. And it's a delight to welcome a number of couples here with us today. For those starting a new job, or those moving into a new home and getting to make new friends in their new location. All these are circumstances where we feel uncomfortable and unsettled, and indeed possibly fearful. But like the disciples in the boat, we are not on our own. Jesus is with us. Although sometimes we might think he appears to be asleep, actually, God never rests. Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable, writes Isaiah. What this account does, however, show us is Jesus' complete humanity. He is exhausted after teaching the crowds. And that's why they went on to the ship to get across to the other side. But on that boat, when the storm arose, the disciples vented their anxiety with deep cries of fear. And when we call, Jesus does respond. He responds immediately, and he responds completely. Now, that might not be to our time frame, but it is certainly to God's. And sometimes we need to be patient when we cry out to God to recognize that there may be a reason why his answer seems to be delayed. Perhaps there is something that we need to learn about the way God wants to use us and to work in our lives. But his response nonetheless is, peace, be still. And here, creation, the waves and the wind respond. And as well as us seeing Jesus' complete humanity, we now see his awesome deity. He, the Son of God, was commanding obedience of creation. Jesus, the Word of God, was showing the power of his word. And we, like the disciples, are witnesses to that thrilling power of God. And I love how Mark writes here. He uses an emphasis. In the Greek, it actually says that they were fearfully afraid, which is a beautiful repetition, really demonstrating how frightened they were in their circumstance. And when we admit to being fearfully afraid of where God may be sending us, what he might be calling us to do, we need to call out in faith and show that awe of God, that respect of God that the disciples had here. It is often said, isn't it, that all become believers in times of crisis. And we're here because we believe that Jesus is our Lord and our Saviour. And yes, we also believe that he does respond in those times of crisis, of accident or illness. But so do many others who call on God. And we pray that in that darkness that they will really feel the presence of God around them as they reach out in hope. Hope that Jesus is there and hope that God does respond. And our prayer of faith is putting trust in Jesus Christ, knowing that he is here with us. That we are making him the center of our lives. That we are seeking him to be present with us as we strive to be present with him. And once the storm is stilled, what do we then do? Do we still remember Jesus? Do we still call on him? And as we gather today around the table, as we share our communion of bread and wine, we are doing this in remembrance of him. And there may be things in our lives that you would just love to share about what God has done for you in your lives. Do speak of what God has worked in your life this week as we share over coffee. And perhaps if you have a story to share, then please do speak to me and I would love to sort of to talk with you and perhaps we can share that with the congregation about how God is working in your life and is helping you through what may be seen to be a time of chaos. The disciples said, "Who is this that the winds and waves obey him? Who is this Jesus of whom I have been talking? He is the embodiment of our generous God. He has been there in the beginning, as he said, before Abraham was born, I am." And he goes on to say, "I and the Father are one." Jesus is also the reflection of our Creator God. He was there in the beginning as order was brought from the chaos of the formless void. Jesus, too, is the personification of our saving God. The God who made a way through the waters of the Red Sea for the Israelites to freedom and salvation. Who will make a way through the floods that surround us to a way that he wants us to go. Who then is this? The disciples asked. And you may recall the answer that Peter gave later on in this gospel in chapter 8, when Jesus said, Who do people say I am? And then, who do you say I am? And Peter answered, you are the Messiah. The Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one of God. All that we believe Jesus to be, we declare in the creed. Take a moment and I shall read the middle section of the Nicene Creed. Just reflect on this as we answer that question in our own hearts. Who is this Jesus? We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Is this too much to believe? I ask you to hold it in trust and in faith. And especially hold to that key phrase, all this he did for us and for our salvation. As I draw this to a close, I want to remind us that Bishop Stephen calls us to be a contemplative, compassionate, and courageous church, to be Christ-like. And to be Christ-like, we need to ask that question and seek the answer to who is this? On the notice sheet, you'll see at the bottom that I make reference to Bishop Stephen's presidential address to the Diocesan Synod. Please do take that away and link with it if you can. And I'm just going to read a few lines from that address. He draws our attention to the account of Mary and Martha. Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her. And Bishop Stephen reminds us that we have all been making a journey from the place of Martha, anxious and worried about many things, to the place of Mary, understanding one thing is needed, to set Christ at the centre of our lives and of our church. He goes on to say how real change and renewal always begins as together we catch a fresh vision of Jesus Christ at the centre of who we are and who we are called to be. And that is true for us as individuals, for local churches and for the diocese at large. The call to be more Christ-like, to sit at the feet of the Lord, is not the preliminary work we need to do before we find a new strategy, he says. To be more Christ-like is the vision and the strategy. It is the response we are called to make. It is not the appetizer before the main meal. It is the whole banquet. We cannot leave this behind as if we have done the work now. We are just beginning. We must go on thinking and reflecting and dwelling in Christ and growing in love for Christ and for one another and for our world. This is God's work of transformation, to present each of us mature and complete in Christ. Bishop Stephen reminds us we are called to be contemplative, compassionate and courageous, to be a Christ-like church for the sake of God's world. And to be contemplative is to find a way of seeing, a way of knowing, a way that sees with the light of Christ a much deeper place within ourselves where he seeks to dwell. I'm going to close now with the prayer for the common vision within the diocese. So let us pray. As we seek to answer that question, who then is this? We pray that we may be inspired to seek that common vision. God of gentleness and love, draw near to us as we draw near to you. Dwell in every heart and conversation. Fashion in us the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to discern together all that you are calling us to be and all that you are calling us to do. Assist us by your Spirit to become a more contemplative, more compassionate, and more courageous church for the building of your kingdom and the glory of your Son. Amen.